Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. This is one of those shows where I'm really looking forward to the guests at 10:30. John Garcia Jr. was scout from Alabama. So if you've not been paying attention over the last few weeks, I think this is a good day to get caught up on this. So Arizona State, well, first of all, Arizona loses their athletic director, Greg Byrne, to Alabama. We know that. Arizona State brings in Blake Barnett, quarterback from Alabama. We know that. We know that ASU's new offensive coordinator is from Alabama. And we know that Brandon Ruiz, we knew this back in October when we first reported it, that he was not going to go to Alabama. He was going to come to ASU. So there's a lot of Alabama stuff that we're going to get into with John Garcia Jr. at 10:35 that involves ASU football and U of A athletics. I'm looking forward to that. Last night I watched the Suns. I'll get into that in a little bit. There's some DeMarcus Cousins. He got thrown out of a game again. And why I've had the stance of I don't want DeMarcus Cousins here. But I really think the best story of the day is Tom Brady's jersey. It's still, you know, the fact that the Patriots are having their victory parade today. Eric, we should try to dive in on that. Is that possible, do you think, in the next hour that we just, is there like a website of one of the news stations up there and we just show, because it's supposed to be rainy and windy. I don't know. Am I throwing Jared under the bus here, Jared Nielsen? Does he have that figured out? I mean,
it'd be best if I turned on my microphone properly,
no, it's
so
fine.
Everyone can hear us.
You're fine. You're fine.
Yeah, I'm sure I could figure out a way to stream that some way.
Some way. I don't know. Just kind of be fun to check in on that. Do you agree with me on the Brady thing? That's still the story of the day.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
It's. I mean, the video fits on the ice. We may have that later in the show too. But I think there's a whole bunch of things around the Patriots today that are still amusing or interesting. Like Martellus Bennett does not want to go to the White House. Well, I've got my views on that. If he really wants to take a stance and go to the White House, and you actually have a captive audience, you're going to be standing right there across from the person who you don't agree with what they're doing. Not going is kind of like, are you afraid of the confrontation? I'm not saying you need to go there and support. If you don't like what's going on with President Trump, then go and say something to him.
Or wear something. Martellus Bennett, if he stands right next to the president,
he's gonna tower
and
over
he's
him.
Wearing a shirt that says, I hate Trump or something, there's
yeah.
nothing that anyone can do. Yeah, that's going to
well,
be
well, you know what? I don't
that's
know
going
that.
To be in the shot.
We don't know that, though. There may be some...
There could be.
There could be some guidelines there, right?
There could be.
But I guess as I'm hearing Martellus Bennett not want to be with Trump, that was the first thing that stood out to me. It's if I don't agree with what Trump has or hasn't to say, or if I didn't agree with what Obama has or hasn't to say, and I'm in a position where I could actually be there with them for some reason, why would I not go?
And he took that stance a few weeks ago. So this isn't really anything that's groundbreaking.
No, it's not groundbreaking, but I think you should... If I'm advising him, it's, you know what? There's been plenty of people that have not gone. This is not new, okay? This is not new. But if you don't agree with something and you have this large stage, then I'd say go and then express your opinion. And if you don't like it, then walk out. That may be viewed in bad form, but just to miss the opportunity, I wouldn't go along.
What if Mr. Kraft calls Mr. Bennett into his office, says, sit down, Mr. Bennett. Let's talk about this.
Well,
we'd really like for you to join us at the White House.
Sure.
You don't have to join us, but we'd really like to have you there. Does that change things?
No.
I don't think so.
Either. I don't think, no, I don't.
It's well, the play. It's always been the player's options.
First of all, don't you think that the reason why the Crafts win year after year after year, you never hear anything bad about the you know, the history of the you don't hear anything about the history of the Crafts and being bad owners, right? You don't hear about that. You don't hear that, boy, that's one of the most dysfunctional franchises ever. And so there's a reason why all they do is win championships and win championships. Or if they don't win championships, they get to the championship. It's the way they do their business. I feel like for him to pull somebody in and say, look, we really want you to go when he doesn't want to go, probably flies in the face a little bit of this. So anyways, you know, I think there's that story. But the Brady deal, so there's some video now. This is advancing the story, I think, a little bit here. Eric found some video, and I guess this has been floating around. It hasn't been viewed that many times when you think about, I think it was like 20,000 views. Given the fact, the magnitude of Brady's jersey gone missing, I would have thought this would be 2 million views already.
We talk about the right place at the right time when it comes to journalism, and sometimes being in a locker room, just being in the right place and actually rolling on something that you're not even expecting to happen can be gold.
Okay, so
this is the case.
This is the case. This is right after the game is over and Brady realizes that his jersey is not there. Check it out.
Did anyone see it?
Did you see it?
Did someone take my jersey?
I put it in my bag. I absolutely 100% put it in my bag.
Someone took it, baby.
The security guard brought the jersey and the pads. He said, when he came back in, since we've been in here, he took his jersey off his pads and put it in his bag.
You want to interview right now?
I put it in here.
Just let someone at the door check every one of these meetings.
No, but it was just... If anyone sees eBay,
I mean, that's good. It's really good. It's not here. Somebody took it. Somebody took my jersey.
Isn't it great, Brad, how the immediacy of cell phones videos just continues to evolve? The lady who shot that, she was probably like, oh, cool. I'm going to go over to Tom Brady's locker, and I'm going to shoot him. And some players are going to come over and hug him, and they're going to say, wow, this is so epic. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And then all of a sudden, the story unfolds. And the two guys, the gentlemen in suits that you saw, are PR staffers of the Patriots. And you can tell they're grinding their gears trying to figure out, okay, this is going to turn into a huge story. So if there's a way we could find this jersey and get this jersey back to Tom, if it's anywhere in this locker room, that would really be ideal. But the story, as you said, has progressed, and now it's day two and there's no jersey.
Okay, so there's also there's some tweets associated with this now too, right? In terms of where the cost of this, what it would entail. Right. There's some of that. And so let's put some of those up. So I haven't seen them yet. I've just heard that it's out there on social media and Eric found them and Jared found them. So do we have these? We have one of those. OK, so there's the Brady jersey. So what is it? 57 grand there, Eric? 57.5?
Yeah, that's for just a random 2014 Tom Brady game used jersey, not the actual Super Bowl jersey where he won his fifth ring. So you can probably take that 57.5 and add a zero at the end of the seven.
I'd say five zeros.
Potentially.
Don't you think it's like it's somewhere in like Africa now?
Yeah, I don't know. Because I know we talked about this a little bit yesterday,
Brad. How do you
validate
it?
Yeah, but how can you
authenticate?
Okay, say you have the jersey. Yeah. You're John Smith who was working in the locker room. You saw the jersey and said, you know what? I'm going to swipe this. Okay, you have the jersey. Really, the jersey technically isn't worth anything. I mean, you stole the jersey. What are you going to do, put it on eBay?
Sure you are.
Or you can figure out a way to sell it to someone else, but you don't want that paper trail. I mean, here's some of the memes. Like, look at that one, Brad, of just it's just
oh, that's awesome.
It's just great, some of the things you find online. A guy with a black hoodie and a ski mask.
Well,
beanie running out of a locker room with a jersey. So
were there any of Roger Goodell running away with it?
I don't know, but there's a look of disgust right there on Brady. I mean, that's
video's
just,
better, but
that's just where is my jersey? Who has it? Please return it.
So I just had a friend who texted me. He's watching the stream. He said the parade is on Nesson. So Nesson.com, which makes sense. New England Sports Network. So if we're able to get that, they're streaming it there. And it's been snowing and now it's raining. So you can check that out. So that story is interesting to me. On the college football front, as I mentioned a little bit later, we're going to go down to Alabama. And we spoke earlier with some people down in Alabama that we're going to get into on what's going on with ASU and all the stuff with their coaching staff and all that. This story just broke like 10 minutes ago that Steve Sarkisian is leaving Alabama to go to be with the Atlanta Falcons. We saw that right before the show started. And that's, I don't know what to make out of Nick Saban at this point. Is he rehabs Steve Sarkisian, he gives him the offensive coordinator job, and then he leaves. Is being the OC of an NFL franchise better, a better job than being the OC at Alabama? And how many people are going to the lineup? Who else is out there? Lane Kiffin already did his rehab assignment. Steve Sarkisian did his rehab assignment. You know, who else is out there that would go through the rehab thing? We're going to have some parade after the break. We're also going to get into DeMarcus Cousins after the break, because the Suns, and Vlade Divac actually has weighed in now on DeMarcus Cousins. Espo wrote a great column up on the site on his roundtable asking if DeMarcus Cousins is the right fit for the Suns. I have taken the hard stance of no. And you'll say, well, he's averaging 28 and 12. And I'd say to you, he's Rasheed Wallace. Every time you turn around, he's getting teed up again and losing his mind on the floor. So I've got some basketball to get to on the other side. And Larry Fitzgerald on the ice. And the Suns last night were just dreadful. And should Baylor football be put to sleep with the death penalty after the latest allegations down there? That's all straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussmat. By the way, there's a few other things I'll get to, but tonight on the site over on our high school platform, for those of you that check out our high school content, we have the number one ranked basketball team in the state, 16th ranked in the nation, playing on the site tonight, Basha High School. They're undefeated at 26-0. And if you want to check them out, we have lots of people that like to see what's going on around the state. So number one ranked team in the state, undefeated, 26-0. They're on the stream tonight. It's produced by Perry High School and their students there. It's part of what we do on our high school platform, where we just turn everything over. We turn the keys over to the kids produce it, they do the play-by-play, they do everything. It's great, it's great. And for those of you that rip on kids doing play-by-play, they're 14, 15, 16 years old, get a life, okay? Move on. It's one of the cool things I really love over on the high school platform when we get the kids involved and they have fun with it. All right, DeMarcus Cousins. We're going to go to the parade in a little bit, but DeMarcus Cousins. So just to give you the backstory on this, the Suns and DeMarcus Cousins has been an on and off name, I'd say, for the last 2 years. And DeMarcus Cousins, there's always something going on with him from my point of view. There's always something. It's everybody else's fault. He was overweight. He was out of shape. Then last year at the Olympics, he dropped weight. Obviously, Jerry Colangelo, Mike Krzyzewski saw tremendous talent and ability in DeMarcus Cousins. If they could harness it in, if they could get him all turned around, all that stuff that you've heard through the years. All I know is whenever I turn around DeMarcus Cousins, it's not calm and peaceful. And so I'm not one of these guys that believes that you go after a volatile hurricane. You've already missed the playoffs since May 27, 2010, which was the last playoff date for the Suns, okay? May 27, 2010. Make shirts up. Go wear them in front of the Suns ownership group and say, you guys are a joke. This is what we're stuck with. If you're going to tear things apart to try to go get a superstar, does DeMarcus Cousins qualify as a superstar? Now, some of you would say, well, sure, Brad, from a basketball standpoint, he's averaging 28 points, 10 boards. He's an immovable force down low. You put him alongside Eric Bledsoe and Devin Booker, and Bledsoe and Cousins know each other from Kentucky and all that nonsense. Just because they know each other from college doesn't mean it's going to work out in the pros. It's kind of like when Carmelo went from Denver to New York. What a disaster. What an absolute train wreck that's been. And I don't know, I'm kind of the mindset I'd like to see a playoff game, just a game in Phoenix, before we get to 10 years of this stuff. It's not going to happen this year. So last night, here again is DeMarcus Cousins. It's a close game when we pick up the action. It is very late against the Chicago Bulls. Game is in Sacramento. Here is example, like, I don't know, 20 as to why I don't want him here.
And he blocked his shot. And that will do it. Uh-oh, Cousins has just got hit with another technical, and he's been tossed. That's the 16th technical foul for DeMarcus Cousins, and it's just the inability for him to control his temper, and that's going to result in an automatic one-game suspension, which means he will not be on the floor Wednesday night against the Boston Celtics. He thought that he should have been called for a foul, and I agree. Dwayne Wade got him. There's no question about that. DeMarcus is 100% correct. But you can't do this.
All right, so even the announcers have seen this act grow tired and thin. And I don't want to hear that, because I did get some of this. I don't want to hear that, well, Charles was out of control. Charles and DeMarcus Cousins, are you kidding me? Don't give me that. Charles is a Hall of Famer. DeMarcus Cousins is not a Hall of Famer. DeMarcus Cousins has been sentenced to Sacramento for all these years. This is how teams become the Washington Wizards for 10, 15 years, is to go make moves like this. Because when Eric Bledsoe leaves the Suns in 2 years, when he's a free agent and he's out of here, no matter what is being said, no matter how it's LeBron's agent, it's I'm in Phoenix, I'm not seeing all mine. Come on. Are you guys kidding me? This idea that this is the turnaround, thankfully you have Vlade Divac on the case. So Vlade was a fine player, funny guy, nice job with the Lakers, fun to watch. But Vlade's the GM of the Kings. And he came out yesterday and says, we're not trading DeMarcus. 41 technicals in one season for Rasheed Wallace. Okay. DeMarcus, now I've got him down here at 18. Their announcer said 16. It says 18 in his stats. So I'm going to go with 18. 18 techs. We're almost to the midpoint of the season. I'm sure as the losing continues in Sacramento, we're going to have more and more and more of this. And it's not just that, guys, because can you deny a stat line of 28 and 10? No, you can't deny that. You also have to look at it and say, who else do they have to get the ball inside to up there? Now, TJ Warren is a fine player. Brandon Knight is somebody that was from the get-go a mistake. Look at Isaiah Thomas and what he's doing. It's, again, just another just horrible deal by the Suns. Beyond horrible deal. Where Isaiah Thomas goes to Sacramento and then he comes here and now he goes to Boston and he's an all-star and they love him back there. It's just a dreadful deal on these guys' parts. They can't figure it out. I actually had a businessman, a respected businessman. If I said his name, many of you would recognize it. And it's not Jerry Colangelo. It's not Jerry. But it's a respected businessman. I was out at the Open and I ran into this person and he sees our content, sees the show, and he says, I love what you guys are doing and your stance on the Suns and all that stuff. He said, but think of it this way. If Robert Sarver, the owner of the Suns, demands a new building, which it's coming, guys, it's going to happen. And he uses Seattle and he uses Kansas City and he uses Las Vegas as leverage, all cities that want an NBA franchise. This well-to-do, intentioned, smart businessman said, let him go. Let them go, and we'll go get another NBA team. This is somebody who's plugged in. This was at the Open, and this was early in the day, so this person was not inebriated. And as far as I know, this person doesn't go down that path. But I hadn't heard there that much resentment and that much anger towards what's been going on here with our hometown heroes. Last night, they go to New Orleans, and I'm watching the end of the game because in the NBA, just watch the last 5 minutes, especially when the team stinks. I don't need to waste 2.5 hours. I'm watching them play last night. They take a timeout. They've got Chris taking the ball out of bounds near half court. Chris should still be at Washington. Chris gets lots of fouls. Chris jumps high, makes some spectacular dunks. So what? Yeah, he's going to be a good player in 3 or 4 years, but it's another 3 or 4 years of sitting here. And then who knows if he's even going to want to be here. So they have him taking the ball out of bounds. Tyson Chandler breaks up, does a back cut. Chris throws it off like the top of the backboard. Wasn't even close. It was embarrassing. It was like YMCA 8th grade league C level. And the Suns end up having a foul and they end up losing the game. It's just another travesty. And yet I watch Anthony Davis down in New Orleans. He's on a bad team. But you actually see some hope. You know, New Orleans is trying to get Jahlil Okafor. Put Jahlil Okafor alongside of Anthony Davis. You would think they'd be able to figure it out. Out here, we're just going to go look at DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins. Now, there's always going to be people that think they can get a guy straightened out. I don't want this to be a rehab project because, again, 2010 was the last playoff game we had in Phoenix. I'd rather it be like Golden State. Did you see what Golden State is doing today? Golden State is going to raise ticket prices again. $32 up to $40. It's over $30,000 to have season tickets for 41 Warriors games. Why is that? Because they got it going on. Why is that? Because they have a bunch of former Suns people up there running it, and Rick Welts and Steve Kerr, and down the list they go. I know it's a tired narrative for some of you, but man, if you put it all together and just see what a mess this has been and how it just continues to be. We're going to go to the parade. You want to go to the parade here, or do you want to go after John, Eric? What do you want to do here? Yeah? All right, we'll go to John then. Because the parade's still going to be going. John Garcia Jr. is standing by with Scout.com. We'll talk with him next on all things ASU football, because there's a lot of angles with ASU. And also with Greg Byrne leaving and going to Alabama as well. He'll join us via Skype. Our TV show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. We've got 7 airings tonight, 7 airings tomorrow, and 4 on Thursday. Make sure you check it out on Fox Sports Arizona. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmad. So let's turn our attention to all things around Arizona State and a little bit about the U of A and what's gone on with Alabama. There's this interesting dynamic in what's happened with the Sun Devils and the Wildcats. John Garcia Jr. is college football recruiting analyst at Scout Recruiting and at Bama Mag. And he joins us for a couple of minutes here on Brad Sussmad Football AZ. I'm curious, John, from a standpoint of what's transpired out here. Let's just go right down the list. Greg Byrne leaves U of A, comes to Alabama. How is that being met by the Crimson Tide faithful?
You know, there's a lot of optimism. Everything we've heard, whether it's dialing back to Arizona or even back to his Mississippi State days, obviously he has familiarity with the SEC. Everything's really come back positive. And it's sort of a breath of fresh air in the Alabama community. The youth and his, I guess, acceptance of technology, even social media like Twitter. It's something fresh and new at Alabama. Everything's pretty old school around here. So he's a breath of fresh air in many different directions. And again, his ties to the SEC sort of validates him with that initial impression. But again, everything we've heard has been overwhelmingly positive, and it seems like something that's going to be not so short term.
What is the view from Tuscaloosa about Billy Napier coming out here and being part of Todd Graham's staff? What are the Sun Devils getting?
I think what's important here is that Billy Napier's had opportunities the last 2 or 3 years. Every year around National Signing Day, his name had popped up for coordinator jobs all over the country. So for him to take one with Arizona State, it tells you that it's something that he'd been looking forward to for a very long time. He was very selective with the process. He's a young guy, energetic guy. Obviously, he coached wide receivers at Alabama, and their track record has been excellent. And I think another dimension here is obviously, you know, he's coached under Nick Saban, but he's also been a very good recruiter. He's an energetic guy. He can adapt to youth, and I think that's what's going to be most important as he adjusts, you know, to a new conference in the Pac-12. Had a recruit tell me that, you know, they had a scheduled dinner at their house, but instead they just played video games. They played NBA 2K, and Billy Napier actually defeated the recruit in the video game. So he's adaptable. He knows his target demographic quite well, and I think it'll be big for him at ASU.
Tell me about developing wide receivers. You know, Amari Cooper is the first one that comes to the top of my mind, just developing players at that position.
Yeah, you know, he really focuses sort of on that pro football mentality. Obviously, all those guys are gifted. Amari Cooper, Calvin Ridley, the list goes on and on with Alabama. But they really sort of they got bigger, they got better, and they blocked. I think that was really his main thing. You know, whether it was Derrick Henry during his Heisman season or even this year where there were 4 or 5 running backs, including the quarterback, those receivers down the field made an impact. Every single time there was a big run, it was often attributed to the receivers, and not just the big, strong ones, some of the smaller ones as well. So Billy Napier's really, you know, worked to round out these wide receivers' game because, let's be honest, coming out of high school, all of them were talented pass catchers, but few of them were physical run blockers. blocker types, and now they all have that attribution to go along with the passing accolade. So he's a well-rounded guy, again, aims for that pro-style nature, and I think it's resonated with those receivers.
What's Arizona State getting in Blake Barnett from your view, and why didn't it work at Alabama?
You know, he has all the tools. There's never been a doubt about that. When he came to Alabama, there was talk that he could start right away. And obviously, things didn't go that way his freshman year, but Bama did win a national championship. He redshirted, ended up coming back this past year, started game one against USC, which I'm sure most people out there saw. But after that, it just never sort of materialized. Jalen Hurts took hold right. of that quarterback job and really never looked back. And it was the confidence he played with, his poise, his mentality, whether it was up or down, he was sort of the same guy. I think Blake Barnett was a little bit more emotional, but things were pretty clear from his camp. You know, the goal was to start early and often at Alabama. And once it appeared to be Jalen Hurts' job, you know, they sort of did what we all expected them to do, you know, look elsewhere. And now it looks like Blake's going to be able to play game one for ASU, which would be huge. He's a true dual threat guy. He was a wide receiver early on in high school, so he's a legitimate athlete. We know he's got the big arm. He won the Elite 11, the prestigious high school quarterback competition there as a senior in high school when he was committed to Alabama. And all of his teammates can only say very good things about his work ethic, his personality, his locker room presence, things like that. So a fresh start is sometimes just what's welcomed, and we see it a lot with quarterbacks. So hopefully it does work out for Blake and his family.
One other question on the recruiting side of things, and that is Brandon Ruiz was considered the top kicker in the country by a lot of outlets. A lot of people looked at him and said he's going to the Crimson Tide. I felt back in October when he took a trip to Arizona State, started hearing much differently than that. I myself was not surprised he decommitted. I think there was a lot of pressure to stay at home following Zane Gonzalez. How big a blow was this to Alabama's recruiting class, if any, Brandon Ruiz decommitting from the Crimson Tide?
Well, like you said, there was certainly some chatter about it. There was talk of a visit to Arizona State, but it really didn't materialize much more than that down here. It seemed like it was just a blip on the radar, if anything. And then in January, during the Army All-American Week, you know, we asked Brandon about it multiple times. Hey, you know, what was going on with this visit? What's your status? And he was saying all the right things with Alabama. So I think the timing of everything caught Bama by surprise. Of course, January is the last month of the recruiting cycle before signing day, February 1st. So him backing off the pledge timing-wise really hurt the class. Bama was basically in a position to not take another scholarship kicker. They did end up getting a commitment from Joseph Bulovas, who was the other kicker at that Army All-American game, but it wasn't as a traditional scholarship. So he's actually going to blue shirt, delay that scholarship at Alabama. So it certainly threw a wrinkle into the Alabama plans. And weirdly enough, it's actually the second year in a row Alabama lost out on the number one kicker after having him committed. Eddie Pinheiro actually was in the same position in the 2016 class before signing and flipping to the Florida Gators, where he just had a great freshman season. So kind of bizarre. You don't hear about it much, but even in kicking now, there's some drama in recruiting. But I think it worked out for all sides. Brandon got to stay home. Alabama still got an All-American kicker who will probably start, more likely here at the 2017 season.
John Garcia Jr., thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Tomorrow we're going to switch gears over to the college basketball scene. Clark Kellogg, who is one of the main voices, he'll be courtside for the Final Four. Since the Final Four is here in Phoenix, it's time to start turning attention on that front. I'll be with Clark Kellogg. We reached out to DJ Foster. I think he'll be with us later this week. And there's a few others that we're working on as well. We'll have our Goody at the Movie segment on Thursdays. And tomorrow I may do some, I think there's some news out there around the MLS in Phoenix. I want to get into that a little bit too on tomorrow's show. And of course, everything else that pops up. If you're just finding us on AZ Central, thanks for being with us over on azcentralsports.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Our site, our main site, where you can check this out and all of our content is sports360az.com. Sports360az.com. And I've been doing this about 5.5 years. I run into people. I thought you were on Channel 3. No, I left. And don't look back. Nice people, but just don't look back. We are self-funded. Those of you that support us, we do appreciate that. If you're interested in supporting us, that is great, too. You can always reach out to me, Brad, at sports360az.com. Without your support, we're not here. It's that simple. I have no investors. I just do this because I see the need. I see it very clearly. And there's big things on the horizon, big things we've already accomplished. We have our partnership with AZ Central. We have our partnership with Fox Sports Arizona as well. Now, with that out of the way, let me move over to a couple things. First, this is in New England today. This is in Boston today. So the parade is going on. Thanks to people at Nesson. And there's the Patriots. And does anybody have Tom Brady's jersey? Anybody at all?
I don't know. It looks like a really nice day, though, in New England for a parade. It was raining, and now it looks like it's kind of snowing, and the streets are wet.
Listen to you.
Well, that's why we live in Arizona.
But we have no titles.
We can't deal with that.
We have no titles.
Do you think those two go hand in hand? I think so.
We don't. I wish we had nasty weather and titles here.
Nah, we're too soft.
That's true. I mean, it's what, 75 to get today? Who wouldn't want to be out in the snow and in the cold celebrating winning a Super Bowl when we have never won a Super Bowl here? We have won a World Series, and that is it. And for those of you that are Rattler fans and Mercury fans, but it's not the same. It just isn't.
They're on duck boats, too, by the way, for this parade.
Yeah, that's cool. I like duck boats. I mean, what's wrong with duck boats? What are you supposed to do on short notice up there? You can't run a marathon. I mean, in Boston, what are you supposed to do? Narrow streets? Everybody's out? Did you hear about Tom Brady on Instagram putting out the everybody in positions of authority? All your employees are excused from work.
I did see that.
That's funny.
I did see that.
That's
what's
very
not funny. Funny are the poor people that have to clean up a ticker tape parade when it's been snowing and raining.
Wow, you sound so...
I'm just thinking of these people. It's not good. You know what happens when you have paper and water?
Paper mache.
Correct. Try cleaning
true.
Up paper mache.
But they have a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's the most important thing.
Another Super Bowl. All right. From there, so that happened. Those of you that are of the opinion that the Super Bowl is the only thing that matters, and yes, this is a sports show, I have a story to bring you in a moment that will show you otherwise. Because on Super Bowl Sunday, it's all about the game itself. It's all about the buildup, but that doesn't mean that people aren't watching other events. It doesn't mean that they are not watching other things, such as when I looked at the Sunday numbers, so I got the Sunday ratings, things like SpongeBob on Nickelodeon registered a good number opposite the Super Bowl. Why is that? Hey, kids, get out of here. Go into the other room and watch SpongeBob. SpongeBob made it. Fox News and Fox and Friends made it. Fox Media Buzz made it. Frozen on the Disney Channel, opposite the Super Bowl, did really well. Really, really well. Go find something, kids. Get out of here. But the number one watched item on cable was not NFL primetime by ESPN on Super Bowl Sunday. No. No, it was not. You would think the NFL rules. Well, no. I have said this before. Give me puppies or give me chimps. Or give me just any animals and I'll watch. So, yeah, this was the number one show on cable opposite the Super Bowl, and it actually did well. The Puppy Bowl. For those that say, we just got to watch the Patriots. No, you don't. Not everybody's into watching the Patriots and Falcons. Of course they're not.
And look at all that product placement. Wow, just perfect.
Those are dogs or goats? They have goats in this show? That didn't look like a dog, but the Puppy Bowl. So that caught my eye. Get that out of here. Good stuff. From there, there's one other item, and we'll have that here in a second. And this is Larry Fitzgerald. So Larry Fitzgerald decides that I am coming back. And yesterday, to celebrate coming back, he was on the ice. Now, I had people that said, really, Fitz on the ice? Yeah. Yeah, Larry was being worked by Shane Doan, saying, this is how you do it on the ice. Now, there's plenty of lines. He's skating rather gingerly here, Eric. I'm not sure if he's really all that confident.
I mean, for a guy from Minnesota, doesn't look like he spent a lot of time on the ice.
That confident. Wow. I mean, this is the puck handling. This is how you do it.
Yeah, we need to get Doner out at a Cardinals practice for training
camp. Hey, Shane, go over the middle. Deal with that, with Tyrann Mathieu coming right into your grill.
Shane's a big guy, though. He can handle it.
Shane could handle it, but can he catch a ball? I don't know. There's got to be some payback on this. That's not a bad shot.
It's not a good shot, though.
It's not a good shot. That's right. So, yeah, Larry Fitzgerald comes back and ground ball to short. You know, look at this. That is great. Larry on the ice. If you're wondering why that is, this Saturday night, they're going to have a Larry Fitzgerald Coyotes bobblehead. So I don't want to pick on the Coyotes, and I'm not picking on the Coyotes. But when you have to go to get other players and have their bobblehead be given away at your event, please get a place to play. Okay, I'm glad that they're here. Love that they're here. It's great that Larry and Shane have that type of relationship because, you know, Shane plays in his softball game every year that comes up in April. We'll see Shane Dillon out there trying to do his thing. But that's good stuff. It's good stuff from Fitz. I like that. There's nothing tonight. There's no Suns tonight to watch. Not that I would not pick on them anyways. They're off tonight. They're off most nights, though. There's no Coyotes tonight. They don't play until Thursday when they have Montreal. And the college basketball, so tomorrow night, U of A will be at home against Stanford, and ASU will be home tomorrow night against Cal, Wednesday night basketball. But this will be one of those rare nights in our busy, busy sports market where there's nothing going on. I don't know. What do you watch? Are you a bachelorette person on Tuesday nights?
No, but before bed tomorrow night, when the tip-off starts shortly after 9 o'clock, I'll probably make my way to find that ASU game if it's not
on Pac-12 Network. Is it a 9 or a 7?
It's at 9 o'clock.
God, are you serious?
It's at 9 o'clock.
It's an ESPNU game.
It is. It's a 9 o'clock start on ESPNU, which is 11 o'clock back east.
No, nobody's going to watch that.
I don't think so.
That's why ESPNU didn't even send announcers. I'm not making this up. ESPNU, the last game that they did of ASU 2 weeks ago, they had no announcers here. They did it from a booth in Charlotte to save cost. That's a little regard they have for what's going on out here. That's just crazy. 9 o'clock, man, they get the worst time slots. They would never stick U of A at a 9 o'clock East Coast, ever.
They used to do the 6 and the 8. Remember that, Brad, back in the day? Like
yeah.
6-7 years ago, the Thursday night games. ASU would always be the 6 o'clock game. U of A would always be the 8 o'clock game.
All right. So we'll get through that. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out. Pro College, high school, college pro. Makes no difference to me. Things that we see that are a little bit different around the state of Arizona or across the country. Eric Sorensen is the Senior Executive Vice President of Everything or Nothing. Today, he did a good job. Edwin Rodriguez is the intern that got in the way of Jared Nielsen today. He did a fine, fine job. We have Haley, we have Jordan, we have a staff. Kalen's here today, getting it done day in and day out. Head on over to the website throughout the day and throughout the night. Appreciate you being with us.